So I think our cups are overflowing, isn't it? Yeah. Sure. Carlos, thank you. Thank you for the ministry. Yeah. And the band. Yo, you guys, it's amazing facilitating the Lord's presence. What a privilege. So I'm sort of, so what do I do now? You know, after God has come to do so many incredible things. I might be where Charlotte's parents are. So what now, Lord? Listen to the Lord. We started off on Friday just talking about God being our shepherd. And I think that's where we need to end again, just as a confirmation that He's the one that has led us to this place. And I think all of us can agree that not one of us arrived here by accident or because this was just on the calendar or, you know, it's a lovely time. We come to a beautiful venue. We're going to see incredible people. Those things were in there, but we were led here by the shepherd. That He led us here. He made a way for us here. He cleared our timetable. He cleared the traffic for some of us to get here. Arrange the visas for some others, and He got us here. He got us to this place, this particular place, this particular time with these particular people. That each one of us, as we hear and as we interacted with one another, we were destined to be together. I think it's just so important for us to continue with that awareness as we go from here. That the same shepherd that got us here and that fed us over this weekend. It's the same shepherd that's going to lead us onwards and is going to feed us and is going to speak to us. And the one thing that I've just become aware of over these last few years and in my own life, I've begun to shift my focus and my confidence away from my ability as a sheep to hear God's voice. I know that it's true for us. Jesus said it. He said that we are His sheep. And as His sheep, we know His voice, we hear His voice, we will respond to His voice. And that's tremendous confidence that we can have. But you know what I've begun to just get a great appreciation for is that it is the voice of the shepherd that initiates everything. It's not even my willingness or my ability to listen. It is His commitment to speak that I base my confidence upon. And so my confidence and my trust is not in my ability to hear so much as it is in His ability to speak. And it's a slight difference, but it's a big difference. And so my confidence is not in my ability to follow, it is in His ability to lead. He's the good shepherd, I'm not the good sheep. He's the good shepherd. And that changes everything. And so for me, just personally, it's taken the pressure off myself. And I've come to just begin to relax, you know, in this phase of our lives, Nikki and myself and our girls, where we obviously have many more responsibilities. But the Lord just said, keep it simple, Simon. Keep it simple. Remain the sheep. Remain the sheep. Allow me to be your shepherd. And I want to encourage you with that in every season of your life, wherever you are, keep it simple. It is actually... Yeah, things change and seasons change and more people get added to our lives, but the basics remain the basics, don't they? He's the good shepherd. We are the sheep in need of Him shepherding us. And so God speaks to us as shepherds even, and He says, you know, shepherd those under you, care for them. Because one day the great shepherd is going to come and you're going to give an account to Him. And I want to, some of you might have seen this video clip yet, it just encouraged me again. And I want to just play this for you. So Nigel, it's the one about the shepherd and his voice. And it's just amazing. I think all of us understand this, but the dynamics, the intricacies with the shepherd and the relationship with the sheep, and this is the promise that Jesus gives us. And so just allow this to, even if you have seen it already, just allow it to just minister that confidence to your heart. Thanks, Nigel.
As part of a shepherd lesson, I did want to look at one thing in the wilderness that will maybe surprise you a bit. Believe it or not, this is called wilderness, Midbar, but it's also called green pastures. Now, when you take a Westerner here the first time and you look at this, you find people say, well, I don't know that I can go there. Because the Psalm 23, the Lord leads me into green pastures, has been pictured as belly deep alfalfa. Well, you haven't seen any belly deep alfalfa. And from biblical time to today, it's rare to see a flock in the farm country. There isn't a lot of farm country in this culture. And so farmers kept the shepherds out as much as they could. Maybe they would come in a little bit after the harvest to glean what was left, but you don't want sheep where you can farm. This is the land of the shepherd. Right on the hillside across from us, you can see those grazing trails cut there by sheep maybe as long ago as Abraham's time. They're spaced so that an animal on one path and an animal on another can reach right to the middle between them. That determines the distance, so you can graze an entire hillside. And the shepherds lead their sheep across that hillside slowly, grazing what's there. Now, you look at it from here and you say, what's there? In fact, I remember my first impression. I woke up one morning, I was sleeping out in the wilderness, and I remember waking up, watching a flock of sheep on a hillside like this, and my feeling was, what are those rock-eating sheep? I mean, what do they eat? How can you call this green pastures? Well, the answer is, there's a small amount of moisture present here. They get a little bit of rain every year. Not much, but a little. Second, there is humidity in the air, especially in the evening breeze, like right now. You can feel it coming from the west off the Mediterranean. There's moisture in the air. That moisture, combination of the rain and the humidity, condenses or drips along the edge of these rocks here. And if you notice, right around the rocks, almost always next to the rocks, you get little tufts of green. Get one a moment. That's what we refer to as the green pastures. So the shepherd looks for a hillside. That's exactly what she was doing. Look at that flock across from us there. Just stunning. Those two shepherd girls have found a hillside that either was exposed to the wind or had that small amount of rain. And they move that flock across the hillside, and it's one mouthful here, walk a step or two, another mouthful, another mouthful, another mouthful. Now that changes the green pasture image a little bit, besides the picture changing radically. Green pastures are not everything you need for the rest of your life. If you make that belly deep alfalfa, then what God is saying, if you follow me, I'm going to plunk you down and you'll never have to move an inch the rest of your life. Just reach out and grab it. Tell me that your life with God has been like that. Worry, said one rabbi, is dealing with tomorrow's problems on today's pasture. In the desert, you learn the shepherd will get you what you need for right now. 10 minutes from now, you trust the shepherd. Just enough.
I don't know, that challenged my paradigm a little bit, doesn't it? And then the beauty of God being our shepherd is that, again, it's not dependent upon where you are, it's dependent upon with whom you are. So it doesn't matter whether it's physical green pastures or whether it's the wilderness like that. The fact is, are you with a shepherd or not? And each one of us, we're going to go back home into different situations. And I agree with Carlos. You know, my heart, Nick and myself, we spoke as well. We're like, can't we just bottle this? Can't you? You know what I mean? Can't you just bottle this community? Can't you just bottle this hunger for God? Can't you just bottle this interaction, the worship, the engagement with one another? Just take this with us. You know, I mean, this is it. But I think what it is, I think God is wanting to give us a taste of what things can be like. You know, but continue to stir our hearts to hunger for Him. I think with all that we've experienced this weekend, I'm just so aware of the fact that God is saying, it's as amazing as this venue is, and as amazing as the worship is, and amazing as all of us together is, it is still about the shepherd. And I don't know how many of you have been to conferences, and then the day after, or the week after, it's tough. Eh? Because you go back to your wilderness. And if your expectation of the green pasture, if our expectation is that, you know, we're going to be fed the way that we've been fed this weekend, every day going forward, I think we can set us up for disappointment. I think these are special times designed to make us fall more in love with the shepherd, to start trust and our confidence in him. So from here, we can go back home and we can understand the one that fed us here is the one that will feed us wherever we go. Those of us going back into hospitals, or those of us going back into schools, or into retail, or wherever it is, into banking, or wherever we find ourselves, the shepherd will be faithful to lead us day by day. And there's something about Jesus, I think, that wants, he wants that day by day engagement with us. And that's why he's designed the whole thing to be, Father, give us today our daily bread. And you know, I think sometimes we want the whole feast, don't we? It's like eat and eat and eat and eat, and then, you know, that must carry us for the next week or so. And I don't believe that's the way God has designed us. He has designed us to continue to hunger after him day by day. And I want to just pray for you very quickly. If you can just close your eyes. Father, I want to pray for those of us who fear going back, Lord. Who fear that, God, we are now leaving the green pasture and we're going back to the wilderness. And we are afraid of what we will encounter there. We're afraid of the sun and all of its scorching heat. We're afraid of the isolation. We're afraid of those, Lord, who believe differently or who don't believe at all. And Father, I thank you for your assurance that you will be faithful to continue to lead us. God, that doesn't matter how barren, it doesn't matter how dry it seems, you are with us. And you will lead us, God, to the pastures that we need. And so, Father, I speak a calm and a peace over your people, over your sheep, Lord, to know, God, that you will be faithful day by day, day by day. And Father, just as that picture of those shepherd girls leading, God, I thank you also just for the picture that you stirring in our hearts, that not only have you called us to feed, but you've also called us to shepherd. And for that, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for creating capacity inside of our hearts to shepherd others. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to just ask you to go with me quickly in your Bibles to Genesis 4. Should I be standing in front of the monitor or behind it? Is that where the feedback is coming from? The speakers. And I've been thinking about the shepherd's voice and you know, God speaking to us, and then just the privilege of God. Carlos, is there a way to hold it? Because you didn't have any trouble. Sometimes when the wind blows at the rugby, you've got one guy lying on the ground holding the ball, the other guy to kick it. So I don't know, Carlos, whether you want to hold the mic for me. But Genesis seems better now. Genesis 4, verse 8. And I believe God is wanting to speak to us this morning about stewarding the shepherd's voice. That's why I was just so blessed to hear what Carlos ministered about, stewarding the shepherd's voice. Cain, in verse 8 of chapter 4, Cain speaks to his brother Abel. Now, if you go back the verses before that, you understand there was a lot of tension between Abel and Cain. And so, he spoke to his brother Abel. The Bible leaves a lot of stuff unsaid there, doesn't it? Because we understand that their discussion was probably a very intense one. Out of Cain's heart, out of the source of his words, there was a lot of jealousy in there. He couldn't understand why God was accepting Abel's sacrifice, not his sacrifice. God came and warned him, said, Cain, you must guard over your heart. Watch over it. Sin is crouching there. Sin is lying in front of the portal to your heart. It's wanting to entice you. Guard over, watch over it. Have dominion over it. We know that Cain was unwilling to do that, and so he spoke out of the anger of his heart, and as Carlos rightly said, what we continue to speak, eventually we act upon. And so he probably killed his brother with his words before he killed him with a stone. As Jesus rightfully said, you know, it's the murder in a heart. And Cain speaks to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and he killed him. I know it's a hectic way to start this session, but it's going to get better, right? Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And Cain said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" You know, and sort of that has become a phrase in our language that sort of refers to just abdicating responsibility. You know, no, it's not my problem. You know, am I my brother's keeper? But what's fascinating about God's engagement with Cain here is that Cain responds, and there's a bit of a word play here if you were to read the Greek and the Hebrew. He says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" What he's actually saying is, "Am I the shepherd's shepherd?" Because let's just go back a few verses. Let's read verse 10 quickly. It says, "And the Lord said, 'What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground.'" Now, what is interesting there again, that the Hebrew word there for blood is actually in the plural. It says, so your brother's blood, the blood lines in actual fact, that's what it's speaking about. Your brother's purpose, your brother's generations, all of that which was supposed to flow forth from him is now crying out from the ground. And that's why, as Renee shared with us last night, when there's been bloodshed, it's important to go back there and to cancel that with the blood of Jesus Christ. Because there are purposes, there are generations that were supposed to have been born from that individual. And those purposes are crying out for vengeance. And God says, you've cut Abel's life short. You've cut his purposes short. The generations that were supposed to come forth from him continue to speak and continue to cry out. It's crying to me from the ground. Now, if we go back to how that old story started, it says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, 'I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord.' And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground." You begin to understand the word play there? Abel was a keeper of sheep. And so when Cain comes and Cain says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" He's saying, "God, that shepherd, am I the shepherd's shepherd?" If you look at what the word keeper means, it's the Hebrew word shamar, okay, which means, amongst other things, to keep, to watch, or to preserve. It also means to guard or to stand guard, and that's why an intercessor is actually a keeper. It's to stand guard over. The short definition there is to keep, and that's why when it says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" he's asking, "Am I my brother's shepherd? Am I my brother's shepherd?" And we all know, of course, that it wasn't a very clever question to ask God, because God obviously, you know, it's like, yes, you are. You are your brother's keeper. You are your brother's shepherd. You are the shepherd's shepherd. And he was watching sheep, Abel. But Cain, you were actually supposed to watch him. And Cain was the older brother. And so, and even within family tradition in the Middle Eastern time, he was responsible for watching over his younger brother. He was responsible. He was supposed to be his brother's keeper. He was supposed to be his brother's shepherd. Now, I believe that God is wanting to just stir in our hearts a hunger to get rid of the spirit of Cain in our midst. And I think that's what we've been building up. And this whole weekend, the heart for the nation. Speak about the fact that God is actually saying to the church, the body of Christ, here in the UK, are you the UK's keeper? You know, I think when things happen, we could be tempted as the church in many parts of the body of Christ could ask God the question, "God, am I this government's keeper? Am I the orphan's keeper? Am I the prostitute's keeper? Am I the drug addict's keeper? Am I? And God would probably say, "Yes, you are." And so God comes a little bit later on, and through the prophet Ezekiel, he addresses the spirit of Cain amongst the shepherds. And Carlos started with the shepherds, with the leaders, and I'm going to do that as well quickly. So the word of the Lord came to me, to Ezekiel, and it says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel," the keepers of Israel, right? "Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, our shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not the shepherds feed the sheep?" Should you not be keeping the sheep? Cain, should you not have been keeping your brother? Should you not have been watching over him? "Should the shepherds not feed the sheep? And you eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. Again, as Carlos so beautifully said, God would often use the negative to imply the positive. So if you look at that, you actually see a very beautiful job description for shepherding. And it says, we're supposed to strengthen the weak. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be healing the sick. We're supposed to be binding up the injured. We're supposed to be bringing back the strays. We're supposed to be seeking the lost. And we're supposed to be leading with gentleness and not with harshness and force. And so there's actually a beautiful picture in the New Testament of a shepherd, someone obviously that turns Cain's spirit upside down. If you think about just the example Jesus made, who do you think in all of Jesus' stories represented the opposite of Cain's spirit? Who didn't have Cain's spirit? Who actually answered that question with his life? Besides Jesus, of course, in the New Testament. Story that Jesus told, which offended the people of Israel. So the Good Samaritan was, we could actually call him the Good Shepherd, because he went looking for someone, saw him, and I think he had his eyes, he had his spirit open. He had his spirit open to look for those around him, and that's why he was able to see. The priest and the Levite, who were supposed to be the shepherds, they walked past this guy, ignored him, but the Samaritan went, knelt down, picked him up, bound up his wounds, took him to a safe place. And God goes on and says, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered, and they wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely, because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. And this is a scary verse for those of us that walk in the shepherding, anointing, and calling. I don't want to have God against me. You know, I don't want God against me. It's the same as Peter just saying, God resists the proud. He opposes the proud. The picture there is God standing and saying, no, stop. I'm putting myself against you. But he gives more grace to the humble. And then here God is saying that there's a way in which we can lead, that God would actually come and resist us. God will come and God will oppose us. God will come himself and put himself in everything that he is. He will come and put that against us. And I don't want that in my life. I want to be partnering with God. And I believe that is where the Lord is taking the entire body of Christ away from shepherds that would just be using the sheep and using positions and using the resources of the kingdom even for their own gain. Isn't that so? And that's why judgment has started in the body of Christ, as you might have noticed. So many things being exposed that have been going on for years in many parts of the body of Christ. And God is saying, it's enough. I'm coming to rescue my sheep. And God has been speaking to me and saying, Heinrich, you better get out of the way. Get out of the way. Allow me to have my way with my sheep. So test your motives, Heinrich. Why are you doing this? You know, so for myself personally, I'm naturally speaking, I'm much more inclined to be a follower. Right? I love serving somebody else's vision. I love supporting them. That's what comes naturally to me. I don't like the limelight. I don't like to be in a place where I've got to make decisions very often. I would much rather come alongside someone else. But you know what? That is me, naturally, personally speaking. That is my comfort zone. All right? And so the Lord has been saying to me, Heinrich, will you remain in your comfort zone and look all humble, say no to leadership? But you, in actual fact, doing is you're not feeding my sheep. You exalting your own personality over what I'm asking you to do. Does that make sense to you? For some people, just naturally leading, naturally walking in front of people, naturally just being able to do things, their zone of discomfort would be to be behind the scenes for a while. Yeah, That would be the test for their hearts. For me, the test for my heart was, am I prepared to accept God's call beyond my own natural bend? My own personality. What's comfortable to me? And God was saying, you can position yourself with me, or you can position yourself against me. That's a strong word, but I believe that's what the Lord is wanting to just say to all of us in this room. That there's an attitude of the heart, and it starts with what Carlos said, with the way we speak about God's people. We can position ourselves with God, what He is doing, or we can position ourselves against Him. And I know where you want to be, and I know where I want to be. Amen. We want to be in a place where we partner with God. And it starts with our hearts. And God gives the commitment, and God says, I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. And I thank God for the fact that He has placed around us incredible fellow shepherds, men and women of God. I love the word that came this morning for the women. Beautiful picture of the shepherd girls shepherding the flock. Amen. Okay, there's something missing in the body of Christ for as long as we isolate and alienate the women around us. Jesus' life, the women around Him that believed in Him first. The women around Him that supported the ministry. And so I believe that God is really wanting, take that word, ladies, take that word. And go and wrestle with God, what does it mean for you? And for us as men even, to understand that God has called us to release the women around us into their God-given destiny. God has called us to release them and not to hold them back. And for each one of us, it might mean something different. But the Lord goes on, He says, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. And Jesus obviously came to do that. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I just felt in my heart that this is what the Lord is saying to you. That the Lord is about to bring His sheep. He's about to bring those who have been scattered. Even upon this congregation, these congregations rest an anointing to be a place of healing for sheep that have been wounded and hurt in other pastures. We have been wounded and hurt by other shepherds. And we're never going to judge other shepherds. We're never going to point fingers towards them, because that just puts ourselves in a position of judgment where we do not want to be. But we can be the place of healing for those sheep. We can be the place where God can restore the heart of the shepherd, where God can restore and heal hearts. And I believe that this word that the Lord says, I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them into their own land, that we need to say, God, we want to be that place to which You will bring them, to which You will bring the sheep. Bring them to us. At this time, I keep on telling God, God, I know You're going to have Your way with the world. I know You're going to do what You have destined to do. But God, what I'm begging You, what I'm saying to You is, don't do it without me. I want to be part of that. And I believe that the Lord has said He's gathering His sheep, and we collectively even need to come and we need to say, God, let our land be the land to which You bring them. Let those sheep be gathered to us. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. And there's a description, actually, of what we just saw. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. Again, it's like funny, the mountains, and we tend to think probably green hills, and as we saw no, it's not. And I'm going to just leave this with you as an encouragement, because some of us might feel like, God, we don't have the green pastures, and therefore we don't have confidence to invite people in. We just maybe have the wilderness of our own experiences. But in the midst of all of your wilderness experiences, if you would look closely enough, you would find those green pastures. And the shepherd would want to lead some of us, and I believe He has done that for some of us this weekend. We want to continue to lead you back to moments in your life, stories that feel barren to you, but if you look closely enough, the shepherd will lead you to where there are green pastures. Things in there, beauty in there, to which you can take people and say, man, I don't have all the answers, but I do know that God can heal the brokenhearted. I do know that God can restore hope. I do know that once I was lost, once I was ill, once I was without hope, once my marriage was in trouble, or once my kids were rebelling and God came through for me. This is the hope that I have. And I believe green pastures speak of hope. God has called us to represent and to share hope with the people around us. He goes on and says, there they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. All right, take that to heart. Say, God, come and do that through me. He goes on, and after speaking to the shepherds, he says, as for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And the Lord brought a clarification for us what that means. How do we muddy the water? We muddy the water through our mouths, through the negativity. Negative about the government, negative about those in authority, negative about the church. God says, no, get it out of your system. Get it out of your mouth. Speak hope. Speak life. Don't muddy the waters of other people's faith. Don't muddy the waters of other people's expectations. I remember one of the only things that really stood out for me while I was studying to become a teacher, this one of my lecturers said, no teacher should stand in front of a classroom full of young people and tell them that there's no hope for them in the country of their birth. You are first and foremost a beacon of hope as a teacher. That's who you are. You represent hope. And that's what we as the body of Christ represent. We represent not just hope, we represent resurrection power. That's what we represent. That's what Paul said. If the resurrection didn't happen, we are the most pitiful of all people. Because we base our entire faith, our entire future, we base upon the reality of the resurrection. And therefore, there's no situation, no wilderness outside of the orbit of God's resurrection power being able to get in there and to bring forth life. And so I believe that God is wanting us to represent that. And the way we can do that is through our words. So keep on prophesying as Lord has stirred this morning. Keep on singing. Keep on declaring. Keep on writing. Keep on sharing your stories. Facebook it. Tweet it. WhatsApp it. Speak it. Live it. All right? Take ownership of that. Say, God, that resurrection power inside of me, I want to see it flow. He says, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. And so God has been saying to me, Heinrich, take ownership of my prophetic voice. Take ownership of my calling to shepherd. But at the same time, get out of the way. It's this dichotomy. Take ownership of it, but at the same time, get out of the way. Say yes to it, but at the same time, say no to your own ego, to your own ideas, to your own plans, to your own fears even to your own reasons for disqualifying yourself. Because we say yes to God's call to shepherd, not based upon how wonderful we are, but based upon the good shepherd that speaks, that guides, that leads. And so, Nigel, if you can show that other video clip, not the one with the sheep that follows the shepherd's voice. Okay, and then I'll read one or two more verses and then we'll pray together. David. Just a very practical demonstration of three people, four saying the same thing, but only one had the voice of the sheep recognized. And I believe that with all of my heart, we need to expand our expectation to understand that there are people around us who will respond not to our invitation so much, not to just seeing our website or hearing what we are doing in our lives, but they will be responding to the voice of the shepherd. They will be responding to the voice of the shepherd leading them to this land, leading them into your life. And because they are responding to the voice of the shepherd and not to your invitation, the question is, will you steward the shepherding? Will you steward what God is doing? Because it doesn't start with us. It starts with God. But because it starts with God, it leaves us with the responsibility. That God sends the people. He leads them. He is guiding them. There are people right now at this moment, while we're busy drinking from the river, while God is busy cleansing our hearts, there are people right now responding to His voice. People back in South Africa, people in the Ukraine, people in Japan, people in Uganda, people in Canada, in Brazil, right now being led and being shepherded by God, people in Afghanistan and in Syria, right now, Jesus is busy shepherding them, and somewhere down the line, some of them will be shepherded here, to this place, to this flock. And then we've got to understand that the people that comes to sit next to us in church or in our small group or in Bible school or having coffee with us or walking across our front porch or coming to work for us, those people are coming to us not just because they are looking for nice music or looking for a handout. They are coming to us because the shepherd is leading them to us. And that changes church a little bit because the shepherd is busy shepherding. And He's leading and He's guiding. Now, if you look at the New Testament, you will find maybe just a handful of references speaking to pastors and telling pastors to pastor and to shepherd. So a handful of them. Whereas in church, mostly we have elevated the role of shepherding to the domain of the pastor, haven't we? You know, the pastor does the pastoring and the shepherding, and that is true. But if you look at what the New Testament have to say, you know, I just went to look and I came across this list. The phrase, one another, abounds in the New Testament. I just want to read a few for you. It says, John 13, just has a whole bunch of them in there. Love one another. John 13, 35, love one another. John 15, 12, again says, love one another. Not the pastor, love the people that come into church. And you are surrounded, and you're being fed, and you're being shepherded by pastors who are men and women of love, and are going to love you. But the reality is that God didn't call the pastor to love everyone. Didn't call the pastor to shepherd everyone. That there's a collective stewardship that God gives us. It's love one another. The word doesn't just say, you know, come to church and be loving. Because that can simply just mean nice as well. They just be loving. But the Bible gets very specific, doesn't it? It says love one another. So He puts a name and a face to the love. Not just be loving, love one another. So there will be sheep that will come in that will stink and smell and will look differently and will, you know. And God says, love one another. John 15, 17 says, love one another. Romans 12, verse 10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Romans 13, 8 again, love one another. And again, we can email you these verses. You don't have to write them all down. Love one another, Romans 13, 8. Serve one another. Be patient, bearing with one another. Make your love increase and overflow for each other or one another. Love each other. Spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Love one another deeply from the heart. Again, not just pastor, love everyone deeply from the heart. Love each other deeply. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Love one another. 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 I think the message is pretty clear, isn't it? Love one another. In other words, shepherd one another. Shepherd one another. Because behind the heart of the shepherd is the heart of love. Love one, shepherd one another. Watch out for each other. Isaiah 54 verse 12, as Renee was ministering yesterday, this verse has kept on beating in my heart, which I believe the Lord is wanting to say to us and leave with us here. It says, sing, O barren one, you did not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, you have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married. You've got to take ownership of the song. Shofar UK and all the rest of us in different areas where we are living. Maybe you're without a support system. Maybe you're without like-minded people. God says, sing, O barren one, sing. Break forth into singing, cry aloud. You have not been in labor. If you have not been in a place where you have seen somebody get saved through your words or through your life, God says, sing. Sing an expectation over your heart. Have an expectation that lives will change around you, that life will flow forth from you. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married. And so God is saying, what the world uses to disqualify, I turn around. I turn around. I don't judge the way the world judges. You're too old, you're too fat, you're too thin, you're too black, you're too white, you're too rich, you're too poor. Whatever. You don't speak enough languages, you speak too many languages. God isn't interested in those things. Will you believe that life comes from me? Will you open up your womb? And I believe collectively that we can do that this morning. And say, God, we want you to allow those around us. Verse 3 says, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left. And your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. And God just dropped this into my spirit that in order for us to shepherd those around us, we just spiritually need to come this morning and just say, God, we ask that you will come and cleanse us from the spirit of Cain. Because it's a spirit. It's a spirit that has infiltrated the church. It's a spirit that has come. And it's come through our bloodlines of saying, that's not my responsibility. And maybe Cain was saying, I don't have enough. I don't have enough to have been able to look after my brother. God, you don't know what was inside of my heart. And God says, but I want you to take ownership. I want you to take ownership. But we won't take ownership if we believe it depends upon us. But if we believe it's the good shepherd and he's leading and he's guiding, then we can simply say, yes, God, come and do it through me. Come and do it through my story. Come and do it through my life. And so I'm gonna pray for us. We can just close our eyes. And Father, I'm gonna thank you, God, that this morning as we come, Lord, we acknowledge as well, Father, that there have been times, God, where, Father, even just, I want to come, God, and I want to pray for those, Lord, in this room, God, the Abels, Father, those who had dreams and passions and desires and, Father, even things that you have birthed in them, God, that were killed prematurely, where the spirit of Cain manifested through your church and manifested through church leadership, Lord, in many different ways out of our own insecurity sometimes, God, and our own misunderstanding of our role and our position, and of the jealousy of our hearts, Lord. And Father, so I want to pray for those, God, in this room who have blood that cries out, God. Where there was bloodshed, Lord God, when there was supposed to be protection and covering and nurturing, and then there was exposure and there was judgment that came. And so there's blood that cries out, Father. God, I want to pray for those Abels, God. I want to pray the blood of Jesus over those wounds. I want to pray, Lord God, that blood of the Lamb that we sang about that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, righteous Abel, who was slain. God, I pray that blood will speak hope and healing and forgiveness even, Father, over hearts here. Father, I thank you. I sense in my heart that we're going to give an invitation now that some, you carry the spirit of Abel inside of you. In other words, there was an innocence about you. You just did the right thing. You just did what you felt was the right thing to do. And then there was a judgment that came. There was a knock that came out of nowhere. You didn't see it coming. And you died on the inside. You died in stepping out. You died in trusting again. You died in just believing again just because of those words that were spoken, those angry words that were spoken. And God is saying that He's coming to bring a resurrection. 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 And so, Father, we thank you. Thank you, God, for the sacrifices that will go up again. There were some of you here, and you sacrificed like Abel did. You sacrificed. And that sacrifice actually just got you into more trouble. And you wondered, is it worth it? Is it worth the pain? Is it worth the rejection? especially at home. I sense there's a lot of pain at home where you sacrifice in obedience to God and you experience the rejection close from an unexpected quarter. And God is wanting to bring healing. Wanting to bring healing over your heart. But you've got to bring that wound to the blood of Jesus and over to the power of forgiveness. And then there are those that have just sat on the other side. And you saw the bleeding. Maybe just saw the guy just not coming anymore. Just not stepping out anymore. You saw it happen and you were just so caught up in your own pain. Just caught up in your own just feelings of feeling worthless and unworthy and rejected by God and rejected by those around you, disqualified. That you just didn't have the capacity. Just didn't have the capacity to look out for your brother. And God is wanting to speak freedom over you. Wanting to speak healing to your heart as well. But that would mean that you would come and you would say, God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. There was an Abel that I missed along the way. There's an Abel, God, that I just didn't see it. I just didn't see her fading away. I just didn't see him fading away. Maybe I didn't. I just didn't reach out to them. Forgive me, God, for that. Come and restore the shepherd's heart. Come and restore the heart, Lord, that would take ownership of your heart. And say, God, manifest that heart through me. I'm going to ask that we would stand. We're going to take communion just in a few minutes. If we could stand back, we're going to ask you to come. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, that in this place, you have started to do something so amazing. God, in this weekend, Lord, you have unblocked wells and you have brought healing, God, in such a special way. But Father, I thank you that what you are holding before us goes beyond just our individual lives. I thank you that you are through your Son and through the power of your Holy Spirit, you are gathering those who have been scattered. Gathering them. And Father, we want to open up our hearts to say, Lord, that if you are looking for a sheepfold, if you are looking for a place to lead your sheep to where they can experience the warmth and the comfort of others who know the voice of the shepherd, that you would lead them to us, God. But in doing that, Lord, we acknowledge that we sometimes go astray. We acknowledge, God, that we sometimes are the ones that need the shepherd's staff, just pulling us closer to him, pulling us out of that bush. We sometimes need the rod just prodding us, keeping us away from danger. We thank you, Lord, for the waters of rest to which you've led us this weekend. Thank you so much for it. Thank you so much for allowing us to drink deeply, God. But Father, we acknowledge that as we go back to a barren landscape, God. But thank you that you remove the fear of barrenness out of our midst. You remove the fear of lack out of our midst, Lord. We will not fear the circumstances. We will not fear the barren wilderness, God. But instead, Father, I pray that you will replace that with an expectation to meet with a shepherd in a very special way. In a very special way. If you carry a wound of Abel in your heart, I want you to respond just quickly and just come forward. If at the same time you carry with you a sense that I've abdicated in the past, I was just trapped in my own pain, there isn't judgment for you, but I do believe God is wanting to give you a capacity to do like Carlos mentioned this morning, to invite people into your pain. And even in that, to understand that as you do that, you are inviting them to the shepherd. So what it does mean is your prayer will become more like John the Baptist's prayer. It's not just even Jesus use me, it's Jesus increase so that I can decrease. Even in my pain, increase, Jesus. Increase. Lately, Nikki and myself, we've had to invite people into our pain. Just many years ago, we had a word from God calling us and inviting us to take ownership of the orphans. We went on this journey of loving a boy that came into our lives, and from the word go, it was complicated. It's a challenge, but it wasn't easy. And somewhere down the line, as we experienced what felt like failure after failure, we began to just draw back from what we knew was God's calling to father the orphan. And God had to come and He had to speak into my heart and He had to say to me, even though you think that you are disqualified, I have not disqualified you. I need to come bring healing to my heart so I could step out again and I could invite people even into my pain, understand that my pain is for the healing of the nations. My pain is for the healing of the nations. My pain is for the healing of those around me. And I believe that God is wanting to say to so many of us this morning, you are not disqualified from being the shepherd that God has called you to be. You are not disqualified from being the heart through which God wants to manifest His heart. But bring your Abel wound or bring your Cain guilt to the Lord. Just to say to Him, God, use my voice. Use my heart. Use my hands. Use my feet. But above all, use my wilderness, God. Thank you, Father. And then there's some of us, we're afraid to ask God to enlarge the place of our tents because we don't know whether we will have enough. And I believe God is wanting to just assure you there will be enough food in the house. There will be enough food in the house for yourself and for those that He's leading to you. There will be enough bread. There will be enough. You don't have to feel like some of us trapped in just a culture of spirit of poverty, spiritually speaking. And God wants to come and deliver us from that. Deliver us from that. Say, He's giving you enough, enough. He's God of the abundance. He's the God of the abundance. So Father, thank you, Lord, for just delivering, God, this your people from any spirit of poverty, God, will want to come upon them. We want to lie to them, God, and say to them, Lord, that they are not the chosen people, they're not the chosen land, that you would lead people somewhere else. Because they don't have enough. So, Father, we acknowledge our lack in the natural. We acknowledge, God, our poverty in the natural, Father. But we delight this morning, Lord, in our abundance in the Spirit. We acknowledge our abundance in you. And we thank you, Lord, that you have chosen to make our lives green pastures for others. That others would come and taste and see that the Lord is good through our lives. As we would love one another, others would be shepherded to us. As we would esteem one another, others would be shepherded closer to you inside of us. As we would bear one another's burdens, others would be shepherded closer to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. There's someone here, you've got a calling of God upon your life. You God is on your case lately. He's been on your case for a while. And God is saying that He's called you to shepherd His people. And you're trying to wreck your brain about how it's going to look and how it's going to manifest. And God is just wanting to say to you, just accept it. Leave the rest up to Him. Just accept the calling to shepherd His people. Whichever way. Forget about the boxes and the labels and how it needs to manifest. Just say yes. Yes to that voice. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We thank you that we can say yes this morning to partnership with you, Lord. Father, even as we're going to partake of the communion, God, we thank you that we can open up our hearts to the flow of your lifeblood through us, Lord. To your lifeblood through us. I just want each one of us, as we're standing there, that we would just say yes to Jesus' voice to shepherd us individually. So I believe God really just wants to break the fear that we're almost like just going to survive between weekends like this. Just barely going to make it. Say yes to His voice to lead you to green pastures. Say yes to His voice to lead you to waters of rest. Say yes to His voice to lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. You will not die in that valley, but He will lead you through it to the table that He has prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. He will lead you. He will lead you. And we will follow You, O God. And we will follow You. And we will follow You. There's someone here you carry inside of you. It's almost like a generational suspicion towards church. When your spiritual DNA, you've just received a suspicion towards the body, and God is just coming to say, He's just wanting to just get rid of that this morning. He wants to restore in your heart just the beauty of the flock of God, to delight in the flock, in all of its messiness, to just delight in it. Thank You, God. Thank You, Jesus. Get up, thank You, Father. Thank You, Most High God. Yes, God, You're worthy. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We worship you. Father, we thank you for the fountains, Lord. Thank you for the fountains that will not run dry, God. The fountains that will not run dry, God. The fountains that will not run dry. Thank you, Lord, for continual refreshing, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just as the children are joining us, we take communion. I would like you just, if you have your kids here, that you would just pray over them. The assurance that the shepherd will guide them. That he will lead them. It doesn't matter to which school they go. Doesn't matter which university they're at. Doesn't matter which country they live. Doesn't matter what the world says around them. God will shepherd them. Speak the hedge of protection over them. Just speak the hedge of protection over them. Cover them in the blood of Jesus. Father, we bring our children before you. Father, we thank you for our children, God, and we declare over them, Lord, that they are your sheep. We declare over them, God, that they will follow you and they will not follow the voice of a stranger, God. I believe God is going to lead you just to rebuke the voices of the strangers, strange voices that we want to speak to your children, strange voices that we want to lead them away. You can take authority over those voices. Seal their ears. Come and get some oil. Anoint their ears to hear the voice of God. Some of you must speak it over your spiritual children. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anoint these girls, Father, in Jesus' name. Anoint Kate and Honey. I just feel led that we need to pray for the girls. Can we have all the girls, little girls, come to the front? All the girls, it's going to pray for you. I want to ask the dads, that young grandfathers, you would come, Carlos, come. All the dads, your dad, come. Maddie, what's up? Dave, come. We're going to pray for the girls. We're going to pray that word that Sophia had this morning. We're going to pray it over them. Amen. The Esther's in the house. Esther's in the house. Father, let's lay our hands on the girls. We're going to pray for you, girls. We're going to pray for you because you belong to Jesus. And God has got a calling upon your life. Father, thank you, Lord, that we can pray for these girls, Lord. Declare them, God, to be mighty in the Spirit, God. We declare, Lord God, that they are recipients of your Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. And they belong to you, Lord. And so we declare over them, can we have oil? Just make sure that we anoint all of them. That, Father, they are off limits to the devil in Jesus' name. We say, Satan, you will not get this generation. You will not get them. We rebuke you. Every scheme, every plan of the devil over them, we rebuke you in Jesus' name. And we declare over them that they are part of God's fold. They are his sheep. And he will lead them and he will direct them. We declare over them that they will know the voice of God. They will know the voice of God. We declare fearlessness over them. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over their innocence in Jesus' name. Over their physical bodies in the name of Jesus. Over their sexual identity in the name of Jesus. Over their motherhood one day in Jesus' name. Over their ability to submit to their husbands in Jesus' name. Over their ability to lead powerfully and mightily and yet gently in Jesus' name. We declare over them, Lord God, your provision and your protection, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we honor the blood of Jesus over them. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for them. Thank you for a hedge of protection. A hedge of protection over them, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, God. Bless them, Father. Bless them. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, girls. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We all have a cup. We all have some bread. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Let us take hold of the bread. Lord God, we thank you. As we stand here, God, and as we are going to go back to different places, different parts of the UK, Lord, different parts of Europe, different parts of the world, we think that what binds us together, God, is more than nice experiences. What binds us together, God, is more than a common belief system, God. What binds us together is your body. And so we thank you for the privilege we have to be part of your body, God. What a miracle. What a pleasure, God. What an honor to be part of your body. And our hearts, Lord, this morning goes out, God, to those parts of your body that are suffering intense persecution today. In prison. Fearing for their lives, being persecuted right now, Lord, and we pray your comfort upon them. We pray your strength upon them, God. We pray that they will live worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would honor their blood, that every seed, Lord God, that falls into the ground, every life that gets lost will bring forth a mighty harvest.
We pray your grace upon them, fathers. We pray your grace upon us. We thank you that your body, Jesus, was broken, so we can be made whole. We thank you for your healing over every Abel and every Cain, so that truly you can come and be the shepherd amongst us. And we declare that because of the shed blood of Christ, because of the brokenness of Christ's body, that, Lord, your house will be a house where both Abel and Cain can receive healing. We thank you for the restoration of your divine purpose for brothers to walk together. For brothers to walk together. Thank you, God, for the season that you are taking your church into, and us, Lord, as part of your body, God, where you will restore the beauty of unity, God. Where both Ain and Cable would know the love of the Father. Would know the love of the Father that's enough for the both of them. Would sacrifice together, would worship together, would build together, would farm together, would tend the flock together. I just sense in my heart that God is saying that He's going to bring beautiful reconciliation between Abel and Cain. God didn't kill Cain. He was merciful upon him. There was judgment, but He didn't kill him. And I sense that God is saying that Cain just was at the receiving end of Adam's brokenness. He couldn't father him. Couldn't teach him how to relate to his brother. And God is restoring, just in our midst, a strength of the Father's love that would make both Abel and Cain know that they are welcome. So Father, thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. And as we eat, Lord, we eat in thankfulness for the healing that you have begun this weekend, the healing that you will continue, Lord God, to perfect. And we declare over every emotional hurt and wound, every physical hurt and ache and pain, every relational ache and pain, every ache and pain in our identity and in our relationships, God, that your blood is enough. And through Christ's wounds, through his stripes, we are healed. Thank you, Christ our healer. Let's eat together. Thank you, Lord. I know some of us are holding kids and it might be a bit difficult. But I just sense the Lord is just holding before us an opportunity, an invitation to, just from this place to go with, as God has shared with us, just hearts in humility. And that starts at the foot of the cross. So I want to invite you to, and even us as the band as well, we can stop playing for a minute, that we would just kneel in recognition of the price that Jesus had paid for us as we drink of his blood. Lord, as we come before you, God, we acknowledge that there's no one else worthy of our adoration. We will bow our knee only to you. And thank you, Lord, that at the foot of the cross, we can see eye to eye. Thank you for your blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And that we'll continue, God, to speak over each life represented here. Each life, irrespective of the strongholds, the principalities and the powers that would want to reign over different towns and cities represented in this place, your blood will have the final say. We put our confidence, our trust and our hope in the blood of Jesus. And we declare that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and not loving our lives unto death. Honor you, God. We thank you. Let's drink together. Got a strong sense the Lord is saying to someone that you feel that your heart is like a pigsty. And the Lord says that to him it's holy ground. You feel that where you live is like a pigsty. And the Lord is saying that he's releasing over you an awareness of His holiness that will be for the cleansing of many around you. Many lepers would come, those contaminated and rejected, and will receive healing. It's through the power of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We can stand. We're going to just end off on a prophetic song that I believe a song is prophetic just over us. The Lord is saying to us, arise and shine, for your light has come. And it's this light that we will take with us where we go. And it's a light that will not be extinguished. Amen. By any place and anywhere that we go. So Father, we thank you, God, that as we can to celebrate you and celebrate the light. It's not a light that we have manufactured, Lord, but it's a light that comes from you. Thank you, God, that no amount of darkness, no amount, Lord, of uncertainty will be able to extinguish that light. So I speak, Lord, over this your people in this place, that their light has come. Thank you for a bright, beautiful light shining brighter than the crown jewels, shining brighter than anything man can conceive of, that lives inside of these hearts and in these your people. And thank you that you will continue to have your way with us, God, in Jesus' name. We will end up with a note of praise. And then we will have lunch. Thanks, guys.
We're going to do a cappella version of it. We'll just sing the same together.
Arise, shine, for your light is risen. Arise, shine, for the light is come.
For the glory of the Lord.
For the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
Arise, shine, for the light is come.
Arise, shine, for the light is come. Arise and shine, for the light is come.
For the glory of the Lord.
The glory of the Lord is risen.
The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The glory of the Lord is risen. For the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Arise, shine, for the light is come. Arise, shine, for the light is come. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord. For the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. For the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come upon thee, upon thee. Arise, shine, for your light is come. Arise, shine, for the light is come.
Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can just declare this, Lord, over every life, God, in Jesus' name. And we honor you and we praise you for what you've done, God, in our midst. We thank you, Lord, that you are so faithful and so true, God. And we anchor ourselves, Lord, this day, God, in your ability, in your power, and in your faithfulness, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you bind us together, God, with cords that cannot be broken, God, forged in the throne room of heaven. And God, that will have their purpose. We acknowledge as well, Lord, your divine purpose and your divine agenda for these cords. The reason for which you have brought this group together. Amen. We acknowledge that, Father, and we submit that to you, God, in Jesus' name. We submit our relationships to your divine agenda. And we say, God, come and have your way with this group. Yes. This group is here not by accident, God. It's your divine plan. And Father, we thank you that your plan will be established in Jesus' name as you continue to build your church. In the name of Jesus, amen.
God, for feeding our spirits and for feeding our bodies now, and we bless Oak Hall for their hospitality to us. Amen. It will bless Oak